Welcome to D&B College. Today we're building a dubwise chopped vinyl texture in Ableton Live 12, but not the weak kind that just sounds like vague lo-fi ambience. We're aiming for something with weight, movement, and attitude. Something that feels like a worn dub plate fragment drifting through a deep jungle tune, with chopped rhythm, dusty harmonics, dub delay, and just enough instability to feel alive. This kind of atmosphere is perfect for intros, breakdowns, pre-drop tension, and those moments between drum phrases where you want the track to breathe without losing pressure. In darker rollers and deep jungle, the atmosphere should feel like it's moving with the groove, not floating above it. That distinction matters. A good texture adds history, space, and tension. A bad one just eats up headroom and muddies the mix. So let's build this properly. Start with a source that already has some character. Don't begin with a clean pad if you can avoid it. You want an audio sample with real harmonic dust. That could be a short horn stab, a vocal tail, a broken chord, a guitar hit, a tiny record loop, or even a found sound with musical overtones. The important thing is that it has identity in the mid-range. That's where chopped vinyl textures speak. Drop the sample into Ableton and trim it to a useful 1 or 2 bar region. If it's too clean, don't panic. You can rough it up later. But if the source has no grain, no body, and no mid-range personality, it will never really feel like chopped vinyl, no matter how much processing you stack on top. Now turn that source into a rhythmic object. Simpler is a great starting point. If the sample has obvious transient hits, slice mode is usually the move. That gives you a more chopped, edited record feel right away. If the sample is more of a continuous wash or sustained phrase, classic mode can be better because you can carve it with the envelope and filter. Here's the important mindset shift. We are not making a pad. We are making a phrase. A chopped vinyl atmosphere should feel like it was edited into the track, not just held down in the background. Set a very short attack, keep the release controlled, and start filtering the sample into the useful zone. You generally want the low end removed pretty aggressively, often somewhere above 120 to 250 Hz depending on the arrangement. Then shape the resonance and cutoff so the ear catches the texture in the 500 Hz to 3 kHz area. That's where it can still speak, without stepping on the sub or kick body. What to listen for here is simple. Does the loop still feel interesting after 4 bars, and does it have enough grain to survive fast drums? If the answer is no, go back to the source or the chop pattern before you start piling on effects. Now build the character with a tight stock device chain. A strong starting point is simpler into saturator, then auto filter, then EQ8, then reverb. If you want more grime, try adding redux very lightly before or after saturator. Just be careful. A little bit of bit reduction goes a long way. Too much and the texture turns brittle, which can start fighting the snare. Saturator is great for thickening the mids and making the source feel more like a record object. Usually only a few dB of drive is enough. You're not trying to destroy it. You're trying to give it density. Then use auto filter to keep the low end out of the way. This part is non-negotiable in drum and bass. If the atmosphere occupies too much low mid, it will immediately compete with the break and bass. And in this genre, that fight is never worth it. In EQ8, clean up any boxiness, usually somewhere around 200 to 500 Hz, and if the texture gets dull after filtering, you can add a small wide lift in the upper mids. But do that sparingly. The point is to keep the sample intelligible, not bright. Why this works in D&B is pretty straightforward. Fast drums need space, and the sub has to stay authoritative. A chopped source gives you edges and rhythm, so it can sit behind the groove without blurring it. The saturation and filtering give you the worn dub plate feeling, while the EQ keeps the whole thing disciplined enough for a club mix. Next comes the dub timing language. This is where echo or delay becomes your friend. Set the timing to something musically useful like an eighth, dotted eighth, or quarter note, depending on how much bounce you want. For deep jungle, dotted values often hit that sweet spot where the repeats feel musical and a little unstable, without sounding generic. Keep the feedback under control. If you want short dub accents, stay around 15 to 30%. If you want a deeper wash, you can go higher, but only if you filter the repeats hard. Dark delay tails usually work better than bright ones in this style, because they leave room for the snare crack and the break transients. What to listen for is whether the delay creates a call and response with the drums, or whether it just turns into a foggy mess. If the groove starts getting blurred, shorten the feedback before you try anything else. In drum and bass, an always-on dub delay can flatten the arrangement fast. Use it like a performance move, not a permanent blanket. Now let's add movement. But keep it subtle. You want worn vinyl instability, not an obvious chorus wobble. Tiny filter automation over 4 or 8 bars can do a lot. A very light auto pan or shaper can add drift if you use it carefully. Chorus ensemble can widen things nicely, but keep it restrained so the texture doesn't turn into a cloudy stereo wash. Thake in phrases, not in non-stop modulation. A small opening or closing of the filter every few bars feels more arranged, more musical, and more intentional than a constant LFO doing the same thing over and over. At this point, stop and ask yourself, does the texture already behave like a character layer? If it sits under a break without distracting from the snare and ghost notes, you're in good shape. This is the moment to print it, resample it to audio. That step matters more than people think. Once you commit to audio, you stop endlessly tweaking the live chain and start working like an arranger. And that's where the real track-ready result starts happening. Take the resampled audio and cut it into 2-bar, 1-bar, and half-bar fragments. Now treat those like rhythmic phrases. You can play sparse hits in the intro, a slightly busier answer in the pre-drop, then strip it back again once the drop lands. The best atmosphere lines often work because they leave space. A good pattern might be sparse at first, then slightly more active as the tension rises, then restrained during the drop, then stronger again in the breakdown. That gives the listener a clear emotional arc. It makes the atmosphere feel like part of the arrangement instead of just a loop that never changes. What to listen for now is whether the atmosphere is helping the groove feel deeper or just busier. If it's making the snare harder to hear, if it's softening the bass line definition, or if it starts to feel like decoration instead of structure, pull it back. And definitely check it in mono. That's a big one. If the core identity disappears in mono, the texture is too wide or too facey. In a club, the center is king. The atmosphere can have width, but its personality has to survive collapse. A really useful approach is to make at least 3 versions as you work. Keep one driest usable version, one dark dub version, and one more characterful performance version. That way, if the bass line changes later, you're not trapped by a single texture that only works in one context. Another smart move is to separate the dry chopped fragment from the tail. Print a version with no reverb, and another with just the delay or reverb tail. Then you can place the dry chop tightly under the drums and reserve the tail for transitions and breakdowns. That usually sounds cleaner than trying to make one live chain do everything. Now let's talk arrangement. In an intro, keep the texture filtered and sparse so the listener gets a hint of the character without too much detail. In the pre-drop, open the filter a little and let the delay send rise so the pressure increases. When the drop lands, tuck the atmosphere back under the drums and bass. Then in the breakdown, bring the most recognizable fragment back with a longer tail or a darker wash. That contrast is what makes the drums feel bigger. Darkness before impact can be more powerful than brightness. If you close the atmosphere down just before the drop and then yank it back, the impact feels heavier without needing extra samples. You also want to decide what role the texture is playing. Sometimes it should be a murky bed, almost subliminal, giving the tune depth without drawing attention. Other times it should punctuate the rhythm, answering the snare or bass phrases with little chopped responses. Both approaches work. The key is to choose one job and process toward it. If the track is more neuro-leaning, keep the atmosphere narrower and more mechanical. If it's deeper and darker, let the chopped fragments feel a little more haunted and ghostly. But in both cases, don't let the atmosphere become the main event. The break and bass must stay dominant. A few common mistakes show up here all the time. First, people make the atmosphere too full range. That immediately steals power from the sub and kick. Second, they use too much delay feedback, which turns the texture into a smear. Third, they overwiden it, and then the mix collapses in mono. Fourth, they choose a source with no mid-range personality, so no amount of processing can save it. And fifth, they let the chop pattern become random instead of phrased. Avoid those traps and you'll get much closer, much faster. Here's the mindset that helps most. Every new edit should create a clearer musical role, not just more detail. If you keep adding complexity without sharpening the function, stop and print it. In this style, commitment is a strength. Printed instability often sounds better than endless live modulation. So, to recap, start from a sample with real harmonic character. Chop it into a rhythmic object with simpler or slicing. Shape it with saturation, filtering, eck, and a control dub delay. Add subtle movement, then resample it and edit it like part of the drum arrangement. Keep the low end out. Keep the stereo honest and keep the atmosphere in service of the groove. The end goal is not a flashy solo sound. It's a credible chopped vinyl atmosphere that deepens the tune, supports the break, and makes the drop feel earned. Now take the exercise. Build a 16-bar atmospheric phrase from one short sample. Keep everything below roughly 150 to 250 Hz under control. Use no more than one delay and one modulation device. Then resample it and make at least two edits. If you want to push further, build a sparse intro version and a denser pre-drop version. Or go all the way and sketch a 32-bar arc with variation across the sections. Do that, and you're not just making ambience. You're building tension, history, and groove. That's the difference. Keep going.